Hello everyone. Today, we're going to dive into something that's all around us, something we feel every single day, heat. You know that feeling of warmth on a sunny day, or the cozy heat from a fireplace? Well, that's heat in action. But what is heat, really? Think about it. Everything around us, from the air you're breathing to the chair you're sitting on, is made up of tiny, tiny little particles called molecules. And these molecules are always on the move, vibrating and jiggling around. Heat is essentially the sum total of all that jiggling and moving energy of these molecules. The more they move, the hotter something gets. Now, here's a really important distinction to make. We often use the words heat and temperature interchangeably, but they're actually different. Temperature is like a measure of how much that jiggling is happening on average. Heat, on the other hand, is the actual energy being transferred. And this energy always flows from something hotter to something colder, like how a hot cup of coffee cools down. So, how do we measure this energy? Well, scientists use units like the joule, which is the standard in most of the world, or the calorie, which you might have heard of when talking about food. And here's a neat fact. It takes about 4.2 joules of energy to warm up just 1 gram of water by 1 degree Celsius. Pretty specific, right? To measure heat accurately, we use a special device called a calorimeter. It's like a super insulated container that helps us precisely measure how much heat energy is transferred. Now, let's talk about temperature again. We feel it, we measure it with a thermometer, but what is it fundamentally? It's that average kinetic energy of the molecules. So, a high temperature means those molecules are zipping around really fast on average, and a low temperature means they're moving more slowly. And you know, there are different ways to measure temperature. We've got Celsius, which is super common, with water freezing at 0 degrees and boiling at 100 degrees. Then there's Fahrenheit, used more in places like the US, where water freezes at 32 degrees. And for science, we often use the Kelvin scale, which starts at absolute zero, the point where all molecular motion theoretically stops. Here's a little trick for converting between Celsius and Kelvin, it's super easy. You just add 273 to the Celsius temperature to get the Kelvin temperature. So, if it's 20 degrees Celsius, it's 293 Kelvin. Simple. Now, let's get into how we calculate the amount of heat involved. Imagine you have a certain amount of water, and you want to heat it up. The amount of heat you need, that's our cue, depends on a few things. It depends on the mass of the water, how much you want to change its temperature, and a special property of the substance itself called specific heat capacity. This specific heat capacity is really interesting. It tells us how much heat energy it takes to raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of a substance by just 1 degree Celsius. Water, for example, has a really high specific heat capacity. This is why oceans and large bodies of water can absorb a lot of heat without getting super hot, and they also release that heat slowly, moderating our climate. So, the equation for this is Q equals M times S times delta T. That's Q equals MS delta T. Where M is the mass, S is the specific heat capacity, and delta T is the change in temperature. And this brings us to the principle of calorimetry. It's basically a fancy way of saying that when you mix something hot with something cold, the heat lost by the hot thing is equal to the heat gained by the cold thing. It's all about energy balance. So, we've covered what heat is, how it's different from temperature, how we measure them, and even a bit about how to calculate heat transfer. Pretty fascinating stuff, right? What do you think is the most surprising thing you learned about heat today?